contracts who want to be part of it. The leadership, there's over 45,000 jobs that you can apply for. We need to be at every level to make sure we have a seat at the table. And that's what I'm pushing for. We have to stop having our hand out for being part of this. So I think this, the time is right. So when I heard Nicole was going to interview me today and Brian, you're going to be there, I got so excited.
Aww.
Because this is now.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is. Mr. Gatlin, it's definitely been a pleasure, and I'm sure we'll see you again.
I'm sure we will. I mean, we might as well team up with him, right, Bryant?
I think so.
And thank you, Naja Roberts of Ahead of the Crypto Curve, for this wonderful connection. Hear it before we go. We put history on record. Wonderful to find a kindred spirit.
And be sure to visit us for more rich history at beforeyougo.tv.
That's beforeyougo.tv.
And thank you all for listening to us here on KBLA Talk 1580. And before we go,
we want to remind everyone that those who made history with stories like these probably make what you do today possible.
So let's make the time to spend the time with those who have paved the way.
There's no time like the present.
What a gift.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Andrea Coleman. Here is the latest on the Black Information Network. A Michigan police officer charged with killing a black man is seeing his bond set at $100,000. Christopher Shore was charged yesterday with one count of second-degree murder for shooting Patrick Leoya during a traffic stop in April. Shore entered a plea of not guilty. Another hearing in the case has been scheduled for June 21st. The family of WNBA star African-American Brittany Griner is calling on the Biden administration to take action to free her and bring her back to the U.S. A rally and prayer vigil was held earlier this week for Griner and her hometown of Houston, Texas, where her wife and family urged President Biden to take steps necessary to ensure her immediate and safe return. The Olympic gold medalist has been detained in Russia since mid-February when marijuana vape cartridges were allegedly found in her luggage at the airport. And that is the latest. I'm Andrea Coleman on the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
At In-N-Out, our hamburgers are made with the highest quality ingredients, made fresh and by hand, made with a smile, and made to order just for you. Hamburgers
all about. Hi, I'm Tavis Smiley. As KBLA Talk 1580 host, we never quite know where the conversation is going to go, but sometimes our guests really surprise us.
Let me just close with saying, I downloaded your app while we were talking. It's a terrific app. I look forward to it. I'm enjoying your format and what have you. I will tweet it to my several hundred thousand followers and call their attention to it as well.
If the KBLA 1580 app is enticing enough for our guests to download and share, you should download the app and share it with your friends too.
That's good.
What you say?
So, download the KBLA 1580 app today and take us with you wherever you go.
We on fire,
KBLA Talk 1580.
You are now rocking with the best.
We got a lot to talk about.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith. Here on KBLA Talk 1580.
Hush now, child.
Good morning, KBLA Talk 1580 family. I'm Reverend Gerald, the life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that program that talks about the stuff that doesn't get talked about enough in our community. Subjects like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. If it affects the urban family, we bring attention to it and we provide you with resources, answers, and questions about it. When you wake up with Urban Family Focus, my goal is for you to get that worm. That worm is wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation. Speaking of motivation, Sister Lawili's word for this week is, only those who care about you can hear you when you're quiet. So tell all your friends to download the KBLA 1580 app so they can listen anytime, anywhere. As you know, we've got a lot to talk about here on KBLA Talk 1580. And this morning, our conversation is going to focus around the topic of financial literacy. And you know, there's no station in America that helps you take care of your money like KBLA Talk 1580. During the week, we have Lynn Richardson's Millionaire Roundtable, and Nigel Roberts keeps us ahead of the crypto curve, middays weekly here on KBLA Talk 1580. And today, we have a very special guest. I call him the millennial superstar of the financial industry. That's right, he's a millennial, and he's a superstar in the financial industry. His name is Justin Lacey. Justin is Vice President and Resident Director of Wealth Management Advisors at Merrill Lynch. He works with executives, business owners, and families, designing strategies to help them enhance, preserve, and transition their wealth. He holds the designations of Certified Financial Planner, Certified Public Accountant, Certified Private Wealth Advisor, and an Accredited Wealth Management Advisor. Justin is a member of the Black Executive Leadership Team at Bank of America and the Merrill Lynch African American Leadership Council. That's right. The brother's taking care of business in Newport Beach, but he stays tied and connected to his community. Justin, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Hey, Reverend Gerald. Happy to be here. Thank you for that introduction. Yeah, I do work in Newport Beach, but I definitely got to spend my time pouring into the LA community as much as possible.
And we're glad to have you here today talking about a very important subject. You know, money. You know, some people say it's a good thing. Some people say it's the greatest thing. Some people say it's a bad thing. But you got to have it to exist in this country. But you also have to have some discipline in how you use it in order for it to last, in order if you can help your families in the future. And today we're going to talk about that subject, financial discipline. But first, I want you to tell our audience a little bit about you, how you got to be sitting being the regional director out there in Newport Beach for Merrill Lynch.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm born and raised in Southern California. I grew up in Chino Hills, went to USC, and I did accounting and finance there. I was an accountant for a couple years, still hold my CPA designation. I call myself a recovering CPA, learned a lot, but I recognized I didn't want to do accounting for the rest of my life. So I transitioned into wealth management and, you know, what kind of, you know, the bite that kind of, you know, got me to get involved with it. You know, started seeing people around me, people that were close to me, friends, family members that, you know, just, you know, weren't in the best financial position, right? Had some things that took place in their lives, whether it's health events or unforeseen circumstances, and those circumstances caused their financial decline, and recognized that, you know, people really needed, you know, advisors out there to really counsel them and prepare them for, you know, the expected and the unexpected so they can be able to maximize their financial impact in their journey. So, you know, I wanted to be one of those people to be able to help people navigate the financial landscape. And, you know, as you talked about earlier, Reverend, You know, you got your spiritual health, which is obviously imperative. You got your mental health and your physical health, which is super imperative. And you got your financial health. And all four of those things need to be aligned. And it's important that, you know, we as a Black community seek, you know, counsel and advice in all four of those areas of health so we can really maximize our time being here.
You know, I appreciate you. I remember, you know, when I met you, I think it was because we were getting you involved in BWARP, which is the Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program that we have over at the Urban League. And you were gracious enough to be one of our first speakers in that series. We did a series called Millionaire Millennials. And you and a couple of your colleagues did a great job doing that. And I was so impressed, not just with your acumen and your desire to help your community, but also all the accomplishments that you had at USC. You forgot to tell them you graduated magna cum laude or whatever, you know, that you was at the head of your class. But whenever I see a young brother doing it, it just excites me. It motivates me. I won't say it gives me hope. It shows what's really going on out there. Mm. They have a way of picking out the worst of us and highlighting them. And there's a lot of brothers like you. There's a lot of sisters like you that's out there doing great things in the community, representing that millennial time set in a positive way. So that's why I'm glad you're here.
No, I really appreciate that. And I got to give a lot of kudos to you, right? I mean, you are providing these forums and these outlets for, you know, practitioners and people within our community to be able to educate, inform, and motivate, you know, people in the community. And we can't do that unless we have the forums and the mechanisms to reach that population. So I appreciate you and all the things that you're doing.
Well, I do a little work, as you know, with the Urban League, with the VWARP and other things, with my own nonprofit as far as helping people with financial literacy. But the kudos for what we're doing today, you know, goes to KVLA Talk 1580 and Tavis Smiley and Elston Butler for having the vision and the energy to put this station out here in the way that they did. It's needed. Most conservative stations, most talk stations are very conservative, as you know, and we're unapologetically the opposite. And we have a great lineup all week long, all weekend long. So thank you for giving me that accolade. But the kudos go to the people who make this possible for all of us in Los Angeles to stay on top of our game, be it finance and any other subject that comes about, and particularly our political health and wealth here in this city. So Jason, we're going to get into exactly what financial discipline is and some of those ways we can make sure that we're on top of it. When we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580, this is Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald. See you in a few.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
The Los Angeles Urban League helps African American and others in underserved communities achieve true social parity, economic self-reliance, and civil rights. For over 100 years, Los Angeles Urban League has ensured our communities have access to careers with living wages, opportunities to start and grow businesses, and clear pathways to personal and professional growth. Programs like BizCamp, Construction Career Academy, BA Business Ready, and BWARP. The Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program are examples of the ongoing events designed to make our centennial mission to rebuild Black Wall Street right here in LA a reality. To sign up for our newsletter or to support the Los Angeles Urban League with your time, talent, and donations, visit laul.org. That's laul.org. The Los Angeles Urban League is a proud sponsor of Urban Family Focus Saturdays at 7 a.m. on KBLA Talk 1580.
The KBLA brand mixers are back, and we're celebrating our one-year anniversary.
That's right, baby.
Join us Thursday, June 16th at the Nile Bar, located at 207 South Market Street in Inglewood. Connect with local business owners and some of your favorite KBLA on-air hosts. And yes, KBLA brand managers. The Nile Restaurant and Bar is Inglewood's newest hotspot, and KBLA is taking over. Enjoy some amazing food, premium drinks, and music by DJ Quest. That's Thursday, June 16th at the Nile Restaurant and Bar from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're celebrating our one-year anniversary, and we can't wait to celebrate with you. Go to KBLA1580.com to register. This event is free and will fill up quickly. That's Thursday, June 16th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Nile Restaurant and Bar in Inglewood. Register now at KBLA1580.com.
What's really going on?
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
I love my Charmin Super Mega Golden Charmin Rolls, yeah. Rolls last long, it's TP Goals, yeah. Charmin's got six rolls in one, lasts forever on my buns. Only Super Mega when I'm cleaning, Charmin's got my booty believing.
Charmin Super Mega Roll is six regular rolls in one. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Thanks, everyone, for baking your way here on this toasty morning. Are you all ready to jam? Excellent. Before we get rolling, let's start by hashing out everything bagel we'll be discussing. Profit margarines are okay, but they could maybe be butter. Sorry, I don't mean to waffle. Next quarter, it's all or muffin. Did you have a question, sausage patty?
My name's Patricia.
When you can't take your mind off breakfast, it matters where you stay. Delicious breakfast available at our Hilton family of brands. Hilton, for the stay.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And today, this morning, I should say, we're having a conversation with what I like to call my millennial superstar, Justin Lacey, wealth advisor for Merrill Lynch. He's here today to talk with us about financial discipline. And before we went to break, Justin had made a comment about thanking us for being here. And I told him we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for KVLA Talk 1580 and the great people who put this station together. But also, Urban Family Focus would not be here unless it was for the sponsorship of the Los Angeles Urban League. The Los Angeles Urban League is presenter of Urban Family Focus. And for 100 years, the Los Angeles Urban League has served as a powerful advocate for African Americans and other minorities by ensuring our community has access to careers with living wages, opportunities to start and grow businesses, and clear pathways to personal and professional growth. So for more information about the Los Angeles Urban League's programs, services, and events, log on to laul.org. That's laul.org. Justin, financial discipline. Tell us what that is and why it's so important.
Yeah, Reverend. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, the popular topic when people are talking about like finance now, I feel like are around, oh, you know, what's happening with my portfolio or should I be investing in Bitcoin or NFT and, you know, all those interesting conversations. Right. But when it comes down to, you know, becoming financially successful, it really comes down to, you know, what you just mentioned, that financial discipline. And what financial discipline is, you know, it's the understanding of, hey, these are the things that I want to accomplish financially going forward, and putting together a strategy to be able to accomplish those, right? So understanding how much you can spend on a monthly basis, understanding what different vehicles you have to be able to save and invest, and then making that investment strategy and that saving strategy as automated and predictable as possible so you can put yourself in the trajectory to accomplish all those goals. That's financial discipline, mm-hmm. right? So it's a lot easier said than done. Right. But it's really about, you know, kind of creating that discipline and that cadence to be able to do all the things you should be doing to mm-hmm. accomplish your financial goals.
So let's start out at the base of things where many people are. Many people are living, how do they say, check to check, paycheck to paycheck. And they have a mindset that everything I get, I have to use in order to sustain my lifestyle. There's no money to save. There's no money to invest. There's no money to do anything. So when let's say you're doing a class or you're doing a speech to people and 70% of the audience is in that space, how do you get them excited about financial discipline? What can we say to somebody that let them know that I know you think you need to spend every dime that comes to your hand, but do you really?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's where a budget really comes to handy, right? Now, I mean, I'll be real. I mean, there are circumstances where, you know, your expenses may match your income, right? That's 100% a realistic, mm-hmm. A realistic scenario, right? And in those scenarios, it doesn't take a genius to know if you bring it in $1,500 a month and you have $1,499 of expenses mm-hmm. that, you know, you're not going to be able to be too creative with additional cash flow, right? But I do think that a lot of times we do have excess and fat within our monthly expenditures. So I really think the first step of, you know, kind of understanding the lay of the land and how you can be able to improve financially is building a budget for yourself, right? Understanding the expenses that you have, right? What are the fixed expenses that you can't move that stay consistent, right? What are the variable expenses you have, right? The things that may be able to be moved up and moved down based off of where you are from a, you know, financial situation, right? And really hone into that, right? And make sure that, you know, you don't have, you know, crazy expenses in areas where you can significantly reduce and potentially be able to increase your cash flow, right? So, you know, the first step is really kind of understanding that budget, right? And if the budget ends up being, right, where you have no excess cash flow, then it is what it is, right? You pay the bills and you keep it pushing, right? But, you know, keep in mind that, you know, hopefully you're getting raises and increases of income over time, right? And the position where a lot of folks get into is every 5%, 10% bump in their income on an annual basis, they tend to bump up their expenses in the same way, right?
Right.
So they're at the same place instead of not being able to save and invest going forward, right? So the nature and the goal of, you know, your financial life is to be able to try to keep your expenses, you know, not too relatively, you know, not try to increase those too much on a relative basis on a year to year basis, but allow your income to be able to increase over time. And as you're unlocking that additional discretionary income, being thoughtful about that discretionary income and investing and saving it for the future you, that's how you get to where you want to be from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, I know. My dad was not a financial genius at all, but he did tell me it's not what you make, it's what you keep. Yeah. You know, yeah. And when I was a young man, my first real job where I was making a decent living, one of my mentors pulled me to the side and he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do." This was before, you know, cell phones and computer, you know, things. We had all the advantages we have now. He said, "Look," he says, "I want you to keep a little tablet in your pocket. And every time you spend money, I don't care if it's a nickel in a bubble gum machine, write it down. Mm. Keep a record of every dime you spend for a month, 2 months, and then go back and do what you're doing. Make that budget. Go back and go through that tablet, and you'll see how much money every week that you spent on bubblegum, stuff that you did not have to have. And therein lies the beginning of the initiation of your savings, because now you know what you blow on a monthly basis or a yearly basis on stuff that's not important. And all of us, I don't care where we are in the financial spectrum, whether we're a millionaire or, you know, barely making it, we all do things with our money that we don't have to do. And that philosophy kind of changed my way of thinking about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I read somewhere where they said, you know, wealth is what you don't see, right? You know, you got, I don't want to knock any certain place, but I just came back from a trip in Atlanta last week, right?
Right.
And you see over there wearing these like crazy like gold chains and,
right,
you know, $1,000 Balenciaga shoes and stuff like that. And like, that's not wealth, right? Like wealth is what's not seen. So the person that's wearing the, you know, $30 jeans and the $15 shirt, they're not rocking that $20,000 of jewelry and apparel on themselves, right? They're instead putting that in an investment account that's growing for them, you know, threefold, fivefold, tenfold over 10 years.
Right.
And that's what's creating wealth. So that wealth is really unforeseen, you know, is what you don't see. Another way that I've heard wealth being quantified or described is, hey, wealth is the difference between your income and your ego.
Okay.
Right? And
okay.
I like that a lot, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, what you were referring to is what I call the emotion of money. You know, and we all have, along with our financial needs, and you said, you know, our mental, spiritual, and all those needs that we have, you know, some of us have emotional needs, and we don't know or have the skill set or have been trained how to meet those emotional needs with healthy activities, healthy relationships, whatever. So money is the filler. If I have this car, if I have these clothes, if I'm bling blinging when I walk in the club, if I'm the one that's everybody's like, ooh wee, that gives me self-worth. That makes me more than I think I am, you know, and that's where that comes from. And I'm like you, I can't knock these youngsters for blinging. I you know, it is what it is, because we haven't lived their life. We don't know what their experiences are at home. We don't know what their environment has been throughout their life. And that gold chain might be the most important thing to them, just like to some people, grandma's necklace that grandma left them is the most important thing to them. So that emotional part is there. But I don't care if you're blinging. I don't care if you got a brand new Escalade parked on your mama's front lawn. It doesn't matter. You still have money coming through your fingers that you can do something different with that can put you on a trajectory, I should say, you know, to improve your life, to live better.
No, I agree with that. And also, too, I mean, you know, I think it really comes down. You talked about, you know, someone being able to potentially like see, you know, receive, you know, emotional, you know, kind of kudos or benefit by like rocking certain things that may make them feel better. You know, I think we all need to take a long look and like kind of observe kind of what brings value to us. And then we should align our spending and our expenditures to those things. Right. So like when I talk to clients, right, I get an understanding of, hey, like, what brings you value, right? Like, what are the things that you're really passionate about, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's like, you know, travel, right, then spend your $30,000, $40,000 a year on travel, right? But then don't spend that money on jewelry and other things that don't bring you that same type of passion and that value, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got one life to live. Live it and enjoy the things that bring you value. But, you know, position your money and your resources in those things that give you value, and then don't go over the top in those things that aren't providing the same type of fulfillment in other areas. Like that's that balance that we all want to try to achieve.
Right. And as we move up the financial ladder, if you will, or you start to earn more money, like you say, you get a raise on your job, or you get a promotion. You know, the strategy becomes, oh, I got a promotion. Now I can get that car I always wanted. Now I can move. Now I can do this. Now I can do that. Versus having the discipline to say, okay, I just got this promotion. I'm making 20 grand a year now, more than I did last year. Why not live off of what I had before for a couple of years and put that 20 grand to the side? And that's where the discipline comes in, to kind of control that emotion. And that's what we're trying to get people to think about this morning, is no matter where you are in the financial spectrum, figure out, if you save $5 a week, you know, save it.
Yeah.
Save it. You got it. I was reading something that said less than 40% of the people in America or something had $1,000 of emergency money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means everybody else is, you know, $1,000 or more, I should say, of emergency money. So 60% of us are just hoping nothing happens.
Yeah, no. And you know, so what you mentioned before is that, you know, creating a routine, a disciplined routine, is so important, right? Because at the end of the day, as you talked about before, maybe you only have $5 of additional, you know, $5 of money you can, mm-hmm. like, invest and put to work on, like, a weekly or monthly basis, right? Just doing that is going to put you in a position so that when you have more income and opportunities in the future, you're going to automatically think, okay, I need to continue doing that now, albeit at a higher level because of my, you know, improved situation, right? But if you're doing zero now and nothing now, the chances are you're going to do zero or nothing later when your income increases over time. So as early as you possibly can, create some type of foundation discipline, because that's going to carry forward.
Yeah. One of the things that's been in the news a lot lately is, if there is going to be, or is this great recession coming? Every time I turn on the radio or the news or whatever, that word comes out. You know, and I know that atmosphere provides, makes you have to be more creative at what you do. What's as a young man in the industry, what's your opinion? Is this great recession coming? And if it is, how should we be gearing up or preparing for it?
Yeah, so, you know, I've no crystal ball. I can't tell you when there's going to be a recession and that type of stuff, right? But what I will say is that, you know, when we talk about, you know, the concern about recessions, I think in the context that we're talking about, is what would happen to your investments, right? You know, because recession could be like unemployment and stuff like that, so I'm not going to talk about like that piece of it. But as it relates to like how your investments are going to perform if there's a recession, right, you know, obviously, they're probably going to take a dip, right? The thing is, though, is that, you know, the money that you invest, right, in stock market, the bond market, you know, any other of these, you know, Bitcoin or types of, you know, vehicles, you always have to have a long-term horizon for these investments, right? You never want to put money to work that you're going to need to utilize in the next couple years, right? Because the shorter your time horizon is for investing, the more you're gambling as opposed to investing, right? Mm-hmm. Like historically, the probability of putting money to work in the stock market and increasing is about 50% chance when just looking at like day-to-day basis, right? But the probability of making money in the stock market for a one-year time horizon is like over 70%, right? The probability of making money over a five-year time horizon stock market is over 90%, right? So the more time that you have for that money to work for you, the higher the probability that you're going to make money. So my thoughts about, you know, the concerns about recession and like your investment account is, you know, just make sure that the investments that you have, you know, are funds that you don't need to touch anytime soon. Right. And if that's the case, then you can ride it out. Mm-hmm. Right. When, you know, 2007, 2008 happened, stock market dropped as much as 53%, I believe.
Yeah, it was low.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
even through that, which I think is a much tougher landscape than what we could be approaching this year or next year, the investment market, the stock market recovered within like 4.5 years.
Right.
Even after a 53% drop. Mm-hmm. Right. And keep in mind, when your investments drop by 50%, your investments then have to double up, have to increase by 100%
to get to that
original starting point. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's just a good context to understand. People understand like, yeah, recessions and my investment portfolio dropping temporarily, you know, they suck and no one wants to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can stay disciplined, stay within the market and just allow it to rebound, you're going to be okay over time. The reason why people retire and usually just have a 401k to show for is because that's the only vehicle where they kept on adding to consistently, regardless of recession concerns, mm-hmm. interest rates, inflation rate. They just allowed it to keep on working.
Speaking of 401ks, mine took a huge hit a couple of months ago. And you know, that's I'm glad you went through that as far as investments go. But, you know, some people look at that recession thing and just look at the basics, at the, you know, food prices going up, you know, gas continuing going up, you know, things just costing more. So whether they have an investment portfolio or not, they fear that word because things are going to cost a little more than they normally do. And I was listening to a guy on the radio yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, there was going to be a shortage of chickens and different things, you know. So anyway, we're going to continue this conversation about financial discipline when we come forward here on Urban Family Focus with Brother Justin Lacey, who's the director over at Merrill Lynch out in Newport Beach. And he's sharing some wisdoms with us this morning on financial discipline.
You're listening to the all-new Weekend Lineup of enlightening, encouraging, and empowering talk shows.
Exclusively on KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
I'm Andrea Coleman. Here is the latest on the Black Information Network. The National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings for the southwestern part of the country. The service is predicting dangerously high temperatures from Texas to California, where daytime temperatures will be 10 to 20 degrees above normal, increasing the risk of heat-related illness. Tiger Woods is officially a billionaire. Forbes reports the legendary golfer now has an estimated net worth of at least $1 billion. That's based on his lifetime earnings, and it makes him just one of three known athlete billionaires. The other two are NBA stars LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Well, more than 19 million people tuned in for the first primetime hearing of the January 6th House Committee. That's according to preliminary ratings from the Nielsen Company. It expects the figure to grow. The next hearing will be held on Monday. And that is the latest. I'm Andrea Coleman on the Black Information Network and BINnews.com.
At In-N-Out, our hamburgers are made with the highest quality ingredients, made fresh and by hand, made with a smile, and made to order just for you. Hamburgers all
about. Hi, I'm Tavis Smiley. As KBLA Talk 1580 host, we never quite know where the conversation is going to go. But sometimes our guests really surprise us.
Let me just close with saying, I downloaded your app while we were talking. It's a terrific app. I look forward to it. I'm enjoying your format and what have you. I will tweet it to my several hundred thousand followers and call their attention to it as well.
If the KBLA 1580 app is enticing enough for our guests to download and share, you should download the app and share with your friends too.
That's beautiful.
What you say?
So, download the KBLA 1580 app today and take us with you wherever you go. KBLA Talk 1580.
You are now rocking with the best.
We got a lot to talk about.
The Juneteenth Festival in Leimert Park is proud to present an afternoon of truth and reconciliation at the California Reparations Mixer at Hot and Cool Cafe, 4331 Degnan Boulevard, Saturday, June 18th, starting at 12 noon. Join local grassroots organization, the National Assembly of Slavery Descendants Los Angeles, featuring music, rap, spoken word artists, and community voices speaking on the challenges faced by our community. On Sunday, June 19th, at the Fernando Pullum Community Arts Center at 3351 West 43rd Place, you can meet California Task Force Commissioners and hear the City of Los Angeles Reparations Commission and the Civil, Human Rights, and Equity Department about their work to ensure equity here in our city. Come out and share your story with Task Force members and get your questions answered on the California Reparations Bill. Show up and be heard. It's an opportunity you and your family elders will not want to miss. This public listening session, sponsored by the State of California and hosted by NASD Los Angeles, the Coalition for a Just and Equitable California, and the California Black Women's Health Project, is for We the People.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Welcome to Allstate, where saving on your auto insurance is kind of like a joyride. You, your car, and an open road. Maybe your best friend, too. The music is chill, and so is the traffic. You and your friend both look over at each other, and then he puts his head back out the window. Allstate. Here, better protection costs a whole lot less. You're in good hands with Allstate. Click, call, or visit allstate.com to save today.
Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a karate teacher to trim their hedges.
Hey-ya! Man, these shrubs are not made of plywood. Don't worry, another few chops should do it. Yeah! Nope! Yeah! Dang!
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
Oh, this treehouse looks like particle board. Yeah! There we go. I'm starting to doubt myself.
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, reminding you, when we fight, we win. The Youth Justice Coalition is working to build a youth, family, and incarcerated people's movement to challenge mass incarceration along with race, gender, and class discrimination in the juvenile and criminal injustice systems on the county, state, and national level. They take on the massive lockup of people of color, widespread law enforcement violence, and corruption and consistent violation of young people's constitutional and human rights. The Youth Justice Coalition uses campaigns like Free LA High School, Know Your Rights, Legal Defense, and police and court monitoring to promote safety without relying on law enforcement and lockups. They focus on preventing system contact and pulling people out of the system. YJC uses direct action, political education, and activist arts to expose and pressure the people in charge in order to bring about change. They advocate transformative justice and positive intervention behavior as alternatives to school suspension, expulsion, and arrest. To get involved, visit youthjusticela.org or call 323-235-4243. That's 323-235-4243. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
How do you spend your audio time on smart speakers?
Hello.
Hey, Alexa.
I'm Alexa.
Play KBLA Talk 1580.
Okay, let's play.
Let's play.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Joel, life coach and addiction counselor, and we're having a conversation this morning on financial discipline with Justin Lacey, who is a VP and a director for Merrill Lynch. And before we went to break, Justin, you were talking about recession and how to, you know, you have to kind of ride it out. And it made me think about, you know, we've gone through a few of these. If you're old as I am, you've gone through many of them. And a lot of times, you know, you'll make adjustments, but those adjustments are after the fact. And, you know, I want to know, you know, is there some, like, guys sitting up in a room somewhere kind of looking out, you know, seeing what's going to happen or what could potentially happen? And why does it always seem the adjustment comes when we're in it and not before it happens?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, a lot of us have like our investments in like a 401k or through a financial advisor, right? And they're, you know, they're going to be, you know, a lot of times those investments are being managed, right? They're managed like a mutual fund manager or someone's like managing it, right? Keep in mind that, you know, all these managers of investments, you know, they really get evaluated on like a 3-5 year, you know, time horizon, right? So like that manager is not trying to maximize the return on your investments or portfolio over the next 3 months, right? That's not how they're evaluated.
Right.
They're evaluated over what their performance is over the last 3 years, over the last 5 years. So they're going to invest in a way to make sure that to put themselves in a position to maximize that return over the next 3 to 5 years, right? you know, people always, you know, sometimes people like, you know, have the expectation of like, oh, like how come my advisor didn't see this, right? Mm-hmm. Or how come my portfolio manager didn't see this? How come they didn't move to cash before
right.
this 10-15% drop, right? You know, it is incredibly difficult, dare I say impossible, mm-hmm. to be able to time the market, right? Because mm-hmm. in order to time the market, right, in terms of be able to go from 0% cash to 100% invested, or move from 100% invested to 0% cash, right, that would require you to be able to accurately predict not two things. One, when you should pull the money out, mm-hmm. right, before there's going to be like a crash or something like that. And two, when to put money back in, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be on point both of those entry points, right? Both the entry point as well as the exit point, right? For anyone to be able to reliably do that on a consistent basis, it's basically impossible, right? The best investment minds out there in the world don't try to do that, right? One of the best things I've ever heard from an investment standpoint is that, you know, skilled investors have said, hey, we're not concerned about drops in the stock market, right? We're not concerned about, you know, bear markets in the stock market where the stock price has dropped by 20%, right? They look at it as, hey, this is now an opportunity to get attractive companies at better prices.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's really how we view from an investment management standpoint, investment advisor standpoint. That's how we see, you know, drops in the stock market of 10, 20, 30% that, you know, those are great entry points to be able to make a lot of money over time, mm-hmm. right? I heard it said by other financial advisors that would say, hey, a lot of the money you make in investing happen during down markets. You just don't feel it at the time, uh-huh. right? And also, we also have to normalize volatility in our investments, right? Like, everyone wants to be able to look at their investment statements and see it go up every single month. Like, that would be lovely, right? That'd be mm-hmm. amazing. Sorry, it's never going to happen,
right?
It's not going to happen, right? 10% drops in the stock market happen about once every year, mm-hmm. right? 5% drops happen like 3 to 5 times a year, right? So I think that since the past like 10 years, the trajectory of the stock market's basically been like pretty upsloping, right? Yeah. People forget that, you know, their statement's not going to show a positive return every single month, right? Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important to kind of recognize that, hey, volatility is not to be feared. It's something to be expected. And if we're able to put ourselves in position to ride out that volatility, we're going to see some positive returns over that longer time horizon.
And that I have to admit that the times where things have dipped, like you say, back in 2008, and you know, they did come back. They did come back, and they do come back. I think the reaction that I could have sometime and other people have goes back to that emotion that's tied to money. We look at the statement and say, oh, man, you know, I just lost whatever, you know. And we think somebody has taken something from us. But as you just pointed out, we don't realize that it was during those down times that money was spent on companies that is now growing, that's causing helping us make that recovery. So I guess the bottom line is long term is what investing is all about, and not just what happens from month to month or even year to year to some aspects. So when we think about this term financial discipline, and we just talked about the volatility of the market, how you have to stay the course, unpredictable, all those things, what makes financial discipline easier to accomplish?
Yeah, Reverend. So the best advice I can give you is we need to you have to try to automate your financial life as much as possible, right? So, you know, the reason why a lot of people retire at age 65 and the only investment asset they have is their 401k is because the 401k is the only place they consistently invested to every single 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So putting yourself in a position to have other investment accounts operate like your 401k is key. Right. So like what I recommend a lot of clients as well as I do personally is that, you know, I have like an individual retirement account, right, mm-hmm. Separate from my 401k,
right,
that I automatically have transfers take place from my checking account mm-hmm. that go into it every single, you know, 2 weeks. Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing for my non-retirement brokerage account. Right. Where I have a, you know, you can open up an account at all these different like brokerage firms. Right. That's not a retirement account, but allows you to be able to put cash in there and purchase like stocks and mutual funds, ETFs, all that good stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. I automatically set transfers with that where every single 2 weeks that my money goes from my, you know, cash, you know, from my checking account over to those accounts, right? And then those accounts are automatically, you can set it up so those accounts are automatically invested,
right,
based on like a, you know, risk tolerance and, and return expectation, those and the type of those things, so that money is automatically working for you, right? So that's really like the foundation, is like to try to automate your life as much as possible. Because if you have to try to remember and remind yourself to go in every 2 weeks and move money from the X to Y and then invest after that, like, you're going to forget, right? And you're not going to stay the course. Right. You're not going to be able to do that on a predictable manner. So automate your life as much as possible. And also, I think we should have a conversation about debt, right? Because we do have, you know, sometimes, especially in black community, minority communities, we tend to have more debt than other folks, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding how to manage debt and to reduce your debt load is extremely important, right? I always talk to folks about the opportunity cost of debt, right? So, for instance, if you have a credit card where you're getting charged a 30% interest rate, right, for it to make more sense for you to put an extra dollar into an investment account instead of paying down that debt, you would need to have the expectation that that investment is going to return more than 30%. Mm-hmm. If you don't think it's going to return more than 30%, then it makes more sense to pay down the debt.
Right.
Right. So the first, you know, another part about financial discipline is write down all your debt, write down the interest rates, and put yourself in a position to be able to pay those off in an aggressive manner, because that provides you a whole lot more financial freedom to be able to invest and grow your money over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, the debt issue, because when you're living from check to check, as we stated earlier, you know, emergencies happen. Your car breaks down. You know, something happens that, you know, with your plumbing or whatever, and you have to go in and charge it just to get it fixed, because there is no savings, there is no backup, so to speak. And that's what creates that debt. But it, again, you know, and then some people just use credit cards like it's their money, yeah. You know, and end up having to handle the debt. So what other than not managing debt, what are some of the other mistakes that we make?
You know, I think, you know, debt is a big one, as you mentioned. You know, not consistently putting money to work is a big one. You know, I'd probably say, you know, those are like the top two, in my opinion, in terms of like lack of debt management and lack of consistently putting money to work and investing. Those are two typical ones that I typically see.
Yeah, those are the one of them, the one you just mentioned that you just gave me some information, because I'm one of those people that make a point to make the investment or to write the check or to move this. I think I'm going to automate a couple of things. You know, that was a good tip. I really appreciate that. That way, you know, I've always got a little something going in, you know, and that's going to make that investment just stronger in the future.
Yeah. And I set it and forget it. And the thing about that, from a, you know, we, money is very emotional, right? And from an emotional standpoint, what I love about that strategy, right, is that if you kind of build out kind of your plan and build out the fact that, like, you need to save X amount each month, and it's those automatic transfers are automatically taking place, then you view the money in your checking account differently, right? You view the money in your checking account as, hey, these are the funds that I have after I've already paid my future self and saved for future self. So why don't I go ahead and use this money in my checking account to go on this trip or to spend money on that chain that's going to bring me back, or whatever it is, right? Yeah. But you can be selfish, you can be spending all that stuff with the money that's left, because you know you've paid yourself first.
Pay yourself first. Great advice coming from Justin Lacey, VP at Merrill Lynch. And we come forward, we're going to continue this conversation on financial discipline. I'm Reverend Gerald, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus.
Healthy lives, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580.
One million moms partner with the Black-owned Body Cam app to protect kids from police misconduct. Maisha Cairo here with your K-Black Minute News. Angel Tech, a Black-owned cloud-based application that turns any smartphone into your own personal body cam, has announced a historic partnership with 1 million madly motivated moms. This organization is led by African-American moms and aunties and was created to address police brutality through legal action and legislative policy education. The partnership strengthens moms' well-being and peace by providing a digital lifeline and connection to their family members through Angel Tech's technology. With the number of fatalities at the hands of police steadily increasing, averaging 3 people a day, this discreet app allows the user's loved ones to live stream the incident and get real-time location updates. What are your thoughts on this app? Let us know at KBLA 1580.
The National Coalition of 100 Black Women Los Angeles Chapter will host its annual Who's Who in the Community Scholarship Fundraiser Gala on Saturday, June 11th, 2022, from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. This year's award ceremony theme is Unsung Sheroes, honoring exceptional women in the greater Los Angeles community. Save the date, June 11th, at the Proud Bird Restaurant Tuskegee Room from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m., featuring keynote guest speaker Wendy Gladney, founder of Forgiving for Living Incorporated. The evening will be a celebration honoring dynamic women, including dining, music, dancing, and a silent auction. Individual tickets, tables, ad space, and sponsorships are available. To purchase, please email 100blackwomenla@gmail.com or visit the website 100blackwomen.org/gala.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
I love my Charmin Super Mega Folding Shorts. Yeah. Goals last long. It's TP Goals, yeah. Charmin's got six rolls in one. Lasts forever on my buns. Only Super Mega when I'm cleaning. Charmin's got my booty believing.
Charmin Super Mega Roll is six regular rolls in one. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Thanks, everyone, for baking your way here on this toasty morning. Are you all ready to jam? Excellent. Before we get rolling, let's start by hashing out everything bagel we'll be discussing. Profit margarines are okay, but they could maybe be butter. Sorry, I don't mean a waffle. Next quarter, it's all or muffin. Did you have a question, Sausage Patty?
My name's Patricia.
When you can't take your mind off breakfast, it matters where you stay. Delicious breakfast available at our Hilton family of brands. Hilton, for the stay.
Broadcasting live from Lamert Park, USA. Welcome back to your home for unapologetically progressive radio. KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. We're here this morning having a conversation about financial discipline with Justin Lacey, who's a VP at Merrill Lynch. And Justin has been sharing some wisdom with us this morning. And before we continue the conversation, I see we have a caller on line one. We have Rose calling from L.A. Rose, welcome to Urban Family Focus.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question about when we invest in these various types of accounts. A lot of people, like myself, don't realize that some of these investments have fees that are attached to us. I wanted to know if you could address, you know, how some accounts have higher fees than others and you don't realize they are, you know, fairly high versus I have some of my money in what's called index accounts. And they're actually, I believe, handled by an algorithm or a computer, and they seem to do just as well. Do you have a comment on how these fees are applied and, you know, the attention we should pay to that when we invest?
Great question, Rose.
That's a phenomenal question. So, you know, over the past 10 years, index funds have vastly outperformed like managed mutual funds. So an index fund basically is like a passive fund. Basically how that works is, you know, you could have like you can invest in a fund that's benchmark is like the S&P 500. S&P 500 is like the 500 largest U.S. companies. An index fund is basically going to own those same 500 companies at similar percentages. So it's going to perform in lockstep basically with that benchmark, right? I mean, index funds typically, as the caller mentioned, have extremely low fees. Like some of the fees for them could be like as low as like 0.02%. Right. Not 2%, 0.02%. Right. And inversely, the alternative index funds could be like a managed like mutual fund. They're more like an active mutual fund. If that active mutual fund is like benchmarked the same S&P 500, right, instead of owning those 500 same U.S. companies, they may own just like 100 of them. Right. Because they're like, hey, we have portfolio managers so smart that we can find the 100 best to own and not own the other 400. And they're going to actively do research to figure out which 100 they should continue to own. So because they're doing so much research and trading, the fees for those could be not, you know, 0.02%. They could be as high as like 1% or 1.5%. Right. And fees matter. Right. So that difference difference of fees could end up being a huge difference in the return of that portfolio over time. So yeah, I'm an advocate of index funds because of that reduced fee, and also there you know a lot of index funds tend to outperform active mutual funds. So definitely you should always, before you invest, look at the fees of different funds that you're investing in, and also look at the historical returns compared to their benchmarks and see if the return that you're, the return of the investment you're looking to invest in is commensurate with the fee in which they're charging. And that will help you decide what's the best option for you.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, Rose, for that call. Justin, I guess what you just talked about was the next question I was going to ask you, is why it's important to even have a financial advisor. And you just went through that. You got 1 minute to tell.
Yeah. So, yeah, having a financial advisor, I believe, is very important. I mean, not everyone is in a position where, you know, they can afford a financial advisor, or in a position where they can have a financial advisor. I think at a minimum, we should all have, you know, financial advisors and planners that are within our network that we can be able to lean on and get advice from and guidance from. So if anyone does have financial advisors and financial planners in their life, I definitely recommend keeping them close and be able to, you know, run things off them, you know, where appropriate, to be able to get some advice and guidance. But, you know, financial advisors not only helps in terms of like investing your money, but they also help in terms of reducing, you know, your financial anxiety, right? To make sure that, you know, having someone that you know is, you know, taking care of your money, making sure that you're on the right trajectory to get to where you want to be, and can kind of take some of the nerves and the angst around your money and your investing and your plan, is extremely important. If you're in a position to have one, you know, I think, you know, we're, this is a great industry and we do a lot of great value for folks.
Thank you, Justin. When we come forward, we're going to conclude our conversation with Justin Lacy, VP at Merrill Lynch. We do have a caller holding, and caller, we're going to get to you, but we're going to have to be really quick because we don't have much time left. So we're going to get to the caller, and this is KBLA Talk 1580. You're listening to Urban Family Focus.
More of KBLA Talk 1580's all-new weekend lineup when we come forward.
The Los Angeles Urban League helps African-American and others in underserved communities achieve true social parity, economic self-reliance, and civil rights. For over 100 years, Los Angeles Urban League has ensured our communities have access to careers with living wages, opportunities to start and grow businesses, and clear pathways to personal and professional growth. Programs like BizCamp, Construction Career Academy, BAW Business Ready, and BWARP, the Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program, are examples of the ongoing events designed to make our centennial mission to rebuild Black Wall Street right here in LA a reality. To sign up for our newsletter or to support the Los Angeles Urban League with your time, talents, and donations, visit laul.org. That's laul.org. The Los Angeles Urban League is a proud sponsor of Urban Family Focus Saturdays at 7 a.m. on KBLA Talk 1580.
If you live in L.A. County, you could be eligible for free internet. Call 866-298-1825 to see if you qualify for free home internet. Call 866-298-1825. Brought to you by L.A. County's Delete the Divide Initiative. 866-298-1825.
If you're not listening to Tavis Smiley weekday mornings on KBLA Talk 1580, you're missing out. Everybody wants to talk to Tavis.
That's one reason, by the way, why I'm so thrilled to have this conversation with you today. The three people I always most hoped would interview me were Phil Donahue, Studs Terkel, and Tavis Smiley. Donahue's retired, Terkel's deceased, so this is a real thrill for me. And the reason why I have such respect for what you do is you have a historically informed conversation of depth and detail.
Be sure to tune in to Tavis Smiley, weekday mornings, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, on your unapologetically progressive radio station, KBLA Talk 1580. KBLA Talk 1580.
The Institute for Diversity Certification is all about the three Ds: dedication, determination, and discipline. Learn more about our globally recognized diversity certification program today by calling 1-800-983-6192. Again, 1-800-983-6192, or visit diversitycertification.org. As the number one organization for certified diversity professionals and also certified diversity executive credentials, diversitycertification.org will provide an opportunity for you to demonstrate dedication to the field, determination to make progress, and more discipline to your process. Go today and learn more about the diversity certification system. Call 1-800-983-6192. Again, 1-800-983-6192. Or go to diversitycertification.org. That's diversitycertification.org, the standard of excellence, equity, diversity, and inclusion.
Thanks for spending some quality time with us and checking out the new weekend talk shows only on KBLA Talk, KBLA Talk 1580.
To Urban Family Focus, I'm Reverend Gerald, Life Coach, and we're concluding our conversation with Justin Lacey, VP at Merrill Lynch. We're talking about financial discipline. We have one caller, Jerry, on line two. Jerry, you got 30 seconds because we got to get out of here soon.
Hi. The average person is overspending on gas, food, and rent, at least 30%. This is not good. It wasn't like this 40 years ago. What could be done?
Jerry, thank you for that question, and I don't know if Justin can answer all of it, but Justin, give us a quick tidbit on Jerry's question and tell us a little bit how we can get in touch with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the question is kind of referring to inflation, which is at 40-year highs, and unfortunately, you know, we need to have, you know, some of these supply chain issues and these interest rates increased by the Fed to be able to, you know, reduce these prices again. All we can control on an individual level is our own behavior, right? So, I mean, you know, trying to, you know, maybe do public transportation a little bit, maybe trying to not do as many trips around the block and save money on some of that gas from a renting standpoint, to be able to shop more before you choose a place to live, to try to find the best deal. But it's tough out here. Inflation is a real thing. The increase of price is a real thing. And, you know, kind of bring it all back together. I mean, that's why you have to invest, right? And really enjoy my time. Really enjoy my time with you, Reverend. My contact information. So once again, name is Justin Lacey. My contact information. You can reach out to me via email. It's jblacey@ml.com. And more than happy to be a resource for anyone going forward for anything financial.
Justin, I really appreciate you coming down this morning and spending some time with us talking about financial discipline. We had a couple of great questions there at the end. I wish we'd have got a couple early on so we could have delved into them a little deeper. But those are some great questions, and you gave some great answers. And we want all our listeners to know that, you know, at Urban Family Focus, we're going to do everything possible to help you live that best life, help you grow mentally, physically, and spiritually. So tune into us next week. And if you need to find us on Facebook, we're at Urban Family Focus, Urban Family Focus on Instagram, and Urban Fam Focus on Twitter. I'm Reverend Gerald. Black Lives Matter is next. You've been listening to Urban Family Focus.
KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Andrea Coleman. Here is the latest on the Black Information Network. The National Weather Service has issued excessive heat warnings for the southwestern part of the country. The service is predicting dangerously high temperatures from Texas to California, where daytime temperatures will be 10 to 20 degrees above normal, increasing the risk of heat-related illness. Tiger Woods is officially a billionaire. Forbes reports the legendary golfer now has an estimated net worth of at least $1 billion. That's based on his lifetime earnings, and it makes him just one of three known athlete billionaires. The other two are NBA stars LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Well, more than 19 million people tuned in for the first primetime hearing of the January 6th House Committee. That's according to preliminary ratings from the Nielsen Company. It expects the figure to grow. The next hearing will be held on Monday. And that is the latest. I'm Andrea.